Tonight happens to be in the month of Adar, Adar Rishon. There are, of course, two months, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, the first Adar and the second. In general, the Jewish calendar has 12 months. One for each of the 12 Shvatim, 12 sons of Yaakov in Israel. One of the sons, Yosef, was divided into two, Menashe and Ephraim. Yosef had two sons, and each son later on was given the status of a shevet, of a tribe, by no less than Yankiv himself. Therefore, the 12 tribes, there's one tribe divides in two. By the same token, there are 12 months. One of the months divides in two. Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Now, which of the 2 months that we have, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, did you ever stop to think which one is the main one in line with the other 11? And the 13th is added? Or maybe it's just the opposite. Adar Sheni, the second Adar, is the main one because it's next to Nisan, the beginning of the crowns. And Adar Rishon, the one added. If you stop to analyze it, there are Rios proves to one and to the other. Adar Rishon, of course, is in line with the other tribes, with the other Shvatim. So it stands to reason that Adar Rishon is the main one, and Adar Sheni is added. On the other hand, when do we read the Megillah?
Adar Sheni.
When is Purim? Adar Sheni. Why? The Talmud says because it's next to Nisan. Nisan is, of course, the month of redemption, the month of Gaula, the month where we left Mitzrayim, we left Egypt, and therefore it stands to reason that Misma Gaula le Gaula, that one Gaula, one redemption from Pharaoh, from Mitzrayim, should be next to redemption from Achashverosh and from Haman. Therefore, there is a difference of a machlekes, as many, many times, two opinions in the Talmud. Some Tanoim say the Iker is Adar Rishon. Some Tanoim say the Iker is Adar Sheni. What difference does it make? First of all, the obvious difference, when do we celebrate Purim? But that's not a proof. But then there are many other differences. The problem of Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is unique. It is discussed. And there are differences of opinion. In each of the four Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, as everyone knows, is divided into four sections. There is the Orach Chaim, ordinary day-to-day, the way of life. Then there's Yoredeya, Issur V'Heter, what is forbidden and what is kosher. Then there is Even our Ezel, all the laws about the women, about Kedushin, about Ksuba, about Get, and so on. Then there's the last one, the fourth one, Cheshe Mishpat, civil law, laws of commerce, laws of interest, anything to do with civil law. There's a fourth one. And interestingly enough, there are problems with the other region of the Sheni. In all four of the Shulchan Aruch, in Or HaChaim, Yehudeya, Ibn Ezer, and Chesh Mishpat, always there arise problems with order, which is the main one, or the Rishon, or the Sheni. But getting back to the original source in the Talmud, there are differences between the Meir of Yehuda, which is the main one, which is the inner one. In the Gemara, the Mishnah, and the Midorim speaks about a problem with a neder. If somebody makes a neder, or shua, an oath, that he will not drink wine, he will not eat meat or whatever, until when is this period up? He is bound for how long? To Rishchei for the Rishon, or the Rishchei, or until the end of the whole discussion. This is found in the Yerdeya, the laws of the Dorim, Hilchos the Dorim, and Hilchos Ruiz. But again, there is a difference between Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Baal Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, and the Ramah. Rabbi Yosef Karo is, of course, the leading scholar by his father in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramah, who lives in Krakow, Poland, he was the leading scholar for the Ashkenazim. The Mechaber says that since Rabbi Yehuda, who is the one who we vote for against Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda says the main one is Ador Sheni, that proves Ador Sheni is the main one. The Ramah turns around and says, no, our tradition, the tradition of the scholars of Ashkenaz, of Europe, they said just the opposite, that the Order Rishon is the main one. So you have a machlekes in Tanoim, and now you have a machlekes in the Poskim, machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that May was the other Rishon, other Sheni, because he is a Sfari, of Yosef Karo. On the other hand, the Ramah, who's an Ashkenazi, says it's just the opposite of the Rishon. This goes back in the Der Drush to something, to me, it would seem completely different, but it's part of the problem. Everybody knows Moshe Rabbeinu was born and also died in the month of Adar, Zion Adar, the seventh day of Adar. Was he born on a Rishon or on a Sheni? No? What?
Was there a Sheni then?
Yes. There was a complete calendar of days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The calendar...
Not until later.
I have a little secret. The calendar that we have goes back to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon knew about the calendar. Of course. But not that he went to a store and bought a calendar. The Rebbeinu himself, God himself told him, the Seder Ibo, that there is a calendar with 12 months and there is a leap year every so often. Adam HaRishon knew all about it. He was instructed. The Ramban says something interesting. The first generations, till the flood, they all lived hundreds and hundreds of years. Adam HaRishon, 930. Mesushelach, 969. Yered, 962. And the youngster, the youngest, Mahalalel, only was 895. Only 800, never reached 900. And then, of course, there was Chanoch, 365. Lamech, 777. But all of them much, much longer than ordinary people, even the most long-lived today. And Ramban says this was because they lived so long, they could observe all of the movements of the sun and the moon, and they corroborated the calendar that had been given to Adam HaRishon. So the calendar is an old thing, goes way back. Coming back to my question, Adam, Noach, I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Adam, Zion Adam, Adam Rishon and Adam Shein. Now here again, as like everything else, there are two opinions. In the Talmud, there are two opinions. One opinion is in Monoseita, if you learn Seita? No? So you have Seita? No, not that. One opinion that it was Adar Rishon. The other one, Adar Sheni. Now let me explain Adar Sheni first. If Moshe Rabbeinu was born Zion Adar Sheni, the Torah relates that he, for 3 months, his mother was able to hide him. But it's b'nei shlosho yerochem. 3 months she was able to hide him. At the end of 3 months, she was afraid that the police of Pari would find him and they would drown him, throw him in the river. So she made a little basket or a little hammock or something, and she put him in, and she put him into the river. Now, if you figure 3 months from Zion Adar, 1 month later it's Zion Nisan, 7 days of Nisan. 2 months later, Zion Iyar. 3 months later, no.
Zion
Sivan, very good. What day of the year is Zion Sivan?
Shavuos.
Wonderful. That was the day that, according to this opinion, that Moshe Rabbeinu, this little baby, was put out into the river. And the Malachim, the angels in the sky, they looked down and they saw this tiny little baby, this little boy, swimming in the river, and they said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, mighty God, do you know what we see? We see 80 years from today, when this little boy will be 80 years old, Moshe Rabbeinu will be 80 years old. Do you know what he's going to do? He's going to stand on Mount Sinai and receive the Torah. Do you think it's proper and fitting that he should drown on this very day? Impossible. You must save him. And Abinadab listened to the Malachim, and he sent the daughter of Paro, and she saved them from drowning. That is one opinion. There is another opinion in the Talmud that Moshe Rabbeinu was born Oder Rishon. He was born Zion Oder Rishon. Now let's figure the 3 months. Zion Oder is only 1 week into the Chodesh, into the month. There are most of the month is still there. So we'll count Oder Rishon in 1 month. Oder Sheni, 2nd month. Nisan is 4 weeks. What is the 21st day of Nisan?
21st.
Chof Aleph Noi Nisan. What great event happened? A world-shaking event. The Jews crossed the Red Sea. Crossed the Yam Suf. Kiryas Yam Suf. And what did the Jews react? What did they sing?
As
Yashir Moshe Ulei Yisrael, as Ashiro Azuz. The day of Shiras Yam, Chof Aleph Nisan. That is the day that the mother put him into the river. And that is the day that the Malachim, the angels, said to Hashem, you must save him. In other words, we have two opinions, very important opinions, whether or not Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the Yam Suf, into a little basket or whatever. Was that Shavuos or was it Shviv or Pesach? What great world-shaking events took there? One says it was Matan Torah on Har Sinai, and one says the Shiras Hayam. The question is, which is more fitting? Which is more proper? Which would we say is the greatest day, in a sense, of Moshe Rabbeinu's life? Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years, but there was one day outstanding in all of his life. There is one opinion, it is Matan Torah. What greater event in the history of the world than Matan Torah? Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, ki evad ne'mon korosolo. You say that on Shabbos morning. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. He was given something on that very day that is incalculable, nothing like it in the history of the world. You gave him a crown. And this day he took for you on Har Sinai. That was the day when I received the 2 tablets, the 2 luchas. What other day is there in his life than Matan Torah? That is the opinion. One opinion in the Talmud. But then there is a different opinion. That is the opinion that it was Shviv Yom Pesach. And a magnificent event took place on that day. The Jewish people were united in singing the praises of Hashem, or saying Shira. The Shiras Hayam, we say that every day in our davening. So not only the 10 commandments were given forever and ever, but also Shiras Hayam. And in a certain sense, Shira is even greater than learning. Learning is only for scholars. You must sit down and study years and years. Then maybe you'll know something. And the more you know, the more you realize that you're less to know. There's more than that. Shira is something every person, men and women, can also participate. Matan lehem Miriam, Miriam and Avril, she also sang Shira. Shira Hashem ke goi goi, susrecha. So we're not only the men, the women too. So therefore this opinion of another great rabbi in the Talmud says that it was the seventh day of Pesach when he was saved. So we have here two opinions. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, one says he was born Zion or the Rishon, and one says he was born Zion or the Sheni. Then we have two opinions. When was he saved from drowning in the river? One said it was the seventh day of Pesach, Shvi Yishol Pesach, the day of Shiras Hayam. The other one says it was Shavuos. So again, you have two opinions. You can take your pick, whichever one you like. You can have your pick. But it seems he passed away in Zion order. It was 120 years later. Passed away in Zion order the very day he was born. And a month later, Yeshua ben Nun would lead the Jews into Israel. But unfortunately, he never had the chance going to Israel. But as I said, this problem in Odor Rishon and Odor Sheni, whether you decide, like the Ashkenazim, that it's Odor Rishon, or no, you're a Sfardi, you follow the Sfardim, you follow the Odor Sheni. Again, two opinions. But you'll find it in all the four Shulchanos. In the first one, Erech Chaim, it is a simple problem with your sight. If a person, his father or mother passed away in a regular year, another comes to your sight.
Which one is it?
There are two ways here. The Lord of Rishon and the Sheni. If you're a Sfali, you follow the Mechaber and you celebrate, you keep the Yahrzeit on the Rishon. If you are Ashkenazi, then it would stand to reason you keep the second. Just the opposite. That the Sfali keep the second and Ashkenazi the first. Okay. You can't go wrong here, because one of them is right. Either his father or Ashkenazi. Whichever one you do is all right. That's one. Then there's a second problem with bar mitzvah. A fellow becomes a mitzvah in order, and there are two others. He was born 10 days in order. Is he bar mitzvah or the Rishon? 10 days in the Rishon, 10 days in the Sheni. There's different afteras he has to study. Altogether different. There again, Ashkenazim is father. But here, the halacha is that even if you are born other Rishon, and you become a mitzvah, there's again a leap year. You must wait till other Sheni to become a mitzvah, which is a very strange halacha. Well, the rabbis would know that. That's a problem for rabbis. Yes, so there you have the problem of the outside to the bar mitzvah. Now we come to the second division of Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya. There is a problem of a neder. Somebody takes a neder or a shvur, an oath, although he swears he will not speak Lashon Hara till Rosh Chodesh Adar. Or he will fast. He will not eat meat, he will not drink liquor and wine till certain whatever. Is he bound to other Rishon or other Sheni? There again are two opinions. And again a big long discussion in the Poskim. And whenever they have a chance, I mean, they discuss it at length. Pages and pages. You think it's so easy. Just telling you a little secret. You think the rabbi opens the book and there it is. It's not so. I was talking to my uncle, my father's older brother, one of the greatest scholars in Newark, New Jersey. If anybody's from Newark. Rabbi Leib Shulman was a known scholar in Newark, New Jersey. And he says to me, what's so tough about being a rabbi? Any problem you get, you open the Shulchan Aruch, and there it is. As long as you read Hebrew. Today they're English. So I said to my uncle, my dear uncle, you are correct back in Europe. In Europe, any shaila, any problem that came up, it was right there in the Shulchan Aruch. You open it up and there it is. I have news for you. In the United States of America today, this goes back maybe over 50 years, I said, people ask shaylos that you will not find in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch was written 500 years ago. You have new problems. Electric was unheard of. Unheard of. Comes on Shabbos. What is electric? We were up in Connecticut for a while. We had an electric stove. So I know, comes Yom Tov, I know what to do with a stove. That's if you have gas. You turn it on and you can put it a little lower if you have to cook. Well, what is electric? I asked Rav Moshe Feinstein. And I'll tell you a little secret. Rav Moshe Feinstein, all his father, all his, the volumes of his response, those are shyness that not in Yerudea, not in Shulchan Aruch. You had to go back to original sources, to the Talmud, to the Midrash, to solve those problems. That was the greatness of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Even problems that not in Shulchan Aruch. That's the kind of father of a scholar he was. As I said, now the third division, Shulchan Aruch, Ebenezer, all about Shabbos notion. First of all, of course, in Yifu Kedush. Shabbos and Kedush. When is a woman an Eishes Ish? When is she married? What does she have to do? What are the procedures and so on? Can you do it against her will or must the bill? She must cooperate too. Hilchos Gerushin. Then Hilchos Ksuba. Hilchos Gerushin. Hilchos Ishes. The whole, again, there's problems. When you write the Ksuba, if a couple gets married in order, you must write the date. Is the date Oda Rishin or Oda Sheni? Or, do you say, maybe, you just write order. Same thing when you're Mechadosh, when you're Mechadosh to the Vodah. I'm sorry, Kiddush HaChadosh. Kiddush HaChadosh. So if you all remember, from 2 weeks ago, we said Rosh Chodesh or the Rishon. Actually, it's enough to say Rosh Chodesh order. But then there's always a shaila. Do you mean to the Rishon or Shem? So therefore, we always say exactly Yer HaRishon or Shem. And the fourth division is, of course, Cheshem Mishpat. This is the most difficult of all. When you buy a field, you buy a house, you have to write the month and the day of the month. Today is what? 8 days in order. If you have a star, you have a document of sale, do you write it was sold in other stam, other reason? Or if you get the document, it just says order. In that year, there were two orders. You as the judge, the dying will have to decide on the reason of the shame. It can be a big difference in business. A month's time can mean a lot. So therefore, those are the four the four places, in all four Shulchanos, you must decide, is there a reason or another thing? Okay, now that we have decided that there are two opinions, and you have to decide whether you want to take the Slavic opinion or the Ashkenazic. You know, I was once lecturing for a group of ladies just before Pesach, a week or so, about the laws of Pesach. You know, we had a seminar on the laws of Pesach. And there were housewives, some of them were Ashkenazim, some were Sfardim. And I explained the difference, that the Sfardim have a much easier Pesach than we have. First of all, the Sfardim can eat kidneys, can eat beans, they can eat rice, so on. And then there was the Shaila of egg matzahs. If you ever notice that a box of egg matzahs, it says that this is only
the sick
people. Years back, they did not have this. I remember people did not know that Ashkenazim in general abstained from eating egg masses. They abstained from eating egg masses. The Sfardim, of course, they eat egg masses. It's a chumre from Rashi. It's a chumre. But we, except a person chalila has tough trouble digesting matzahs, and he finds egg matzahs are easier in the stomach, fine, he can do it. But along came Rabbi Yom Soloveitchik, Zuchana Vorcha. He was the rabbi over Streitz matzahs. And he introduced this idea on the box, print that this is only for chole v'zoken, person who is ill or an elderly person who has trouble with digestion. And then even if it's an Ashkenazi, he can eat it. And certain others, and the nice tab of gum, so one lady says to me, you know, maybe she should consider becoming a Sfardia.
What? Good idea, no?
What did she say?
She wanted to.
What?
So I said to her, but remember, the Sfardim, some of them have the meaning they take more than one wife.
Then she doesn't want to.
If that's the thing she says, she better remain unconscious. She decided to tell the truth of the matter is, I'll tell you a secret. Even before the Isur of Rabbeinu Gershom, taking two wives, in about 900, 950, whatever, even before that, the days of the Talmud, very few instances are in the Talmud of a rabbi or anybody having two wives. Once in a while, if there was a problem, God forbid, with the first wife, he might have taken another one. But there was few and far between. Even before the Isur, Rabbeinu Gershom didn't have such a big job. Rabbeinu Gershom incidentally was the leader of the whole generation. His edict was one of many edicts, many resolutions he made with his bezdin that were accepted by Sfardim and Ashkenazim, everybody. He was one of Rabbeinu Gershom is second to Rashi as far as commentator on the Talmud. Rabbeinu Gershom. And today the Shas and all have princes the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Gershom on the side. He was called Rabbeinu Gershom Ma'ur HaGola, the light of the Gola, of the Golas. One of our greatest people. And you see that his law, another law he promulgated was, don't read anybody else's mail. Mail that comes to Reuven, Shimon has no right to read it. No moral right. Alisa for many years. Many other laws he made. And he also made a law, until then a person could divorce his wife against her will, if he wanted to. But he made a law, you must receive her. She must agree to it.
You must what?
She must agree to the divorce. So yeah, and it solved a lot of his problems. Okay, so Miguel's one of my greatest. So getting back to this. So, and then since I spoke already about this, I'm trying to get in a few words about the Sedra. Today's Sedra, the Tzavah, the first half, is all about the big thick kahuna, the clothing that was worn by a Kohen. See, a Kohen, it wasn't just he bought, he went into, hatbox, whatever, and he might bought a suit. There was a prescribed number of garments and a prescribed form of the garment. And they have, in some of the commercials today, they have pictures, very good pictures. The first garment he wore was like a long, it was like a combination, a kapote and a shirt. It was like a long garment, a robe, I would call it, that reached, of course, from his head and shoulders all the way down to his feet, to his ankles. One garment. That was all the kesonis. That was the main garment. Kesonis. It was made out of linen, not wool, out of linen. Remember that the Kohanim were working in the open sky. There was, of course, the Mokem HaMikdosh, but then in front of the base on HaMikdosh, there was a court, a chotzer. It was under the open sky. And in winter, it would be cold. Summer, it would be hot. So in the summer, you can't wear wool in that. It'd be too hot. So they wore linen. But therefore, in the winter time, it was cold. So there was one spot in the Beis HaMikdash where they kept the fire burning all the time, like a furnace. And the Kohanim to come in every once in a while, sit by the fire and warm themselves. Now besides the ksonas, what else did they wear? They had a mitznefes, like a hat or a turban, and an avnet. Avnet, a belt.
Avnet shoham.
Just a minute, we're not to the King Gadol, we're talking about the ordinary Kohen. Just a minute. King Gadol wore more. But the Kohen wore four garments, every Kohen, besides the King Gadol. According to the Rambam, it would seem to me that there was one Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was called the King Gadol. All the other hundreds and thousands of Kohanim were his assistants. You look carefully in the Rambam. The Kohen Gadol, he could walk in any time and he could do part of whatever service was going on. He was the Kohen. The others were his assistants. Now the other assistants were divided into 24 groups.
I need some more water.
You want more water? What
happens, Alan?
Yes?
No.
I don't want
to
get
one.
You water.
Yeah, bring me another glass of water. I'm running out of water.
Got it? Thank you.
I got water. Go to the locker. Sure. Thank you very much. Oh! Good. Thank you. There was... The Kohanim were divided into 24 mishmaros, they were called. 24 groups. Now a Kohen, since there were 24 groups, so every 24 weeks, he would go to Yerushalayim. They had apartments. We saw those apartments for Kohanim. Our leader was a lady who grew up in Meir Shalom. And she showed us, they have little apartments for the Kohanim. He was there a whole week. Now during that week, he worked, 23 weeks he went home. Came back 24 weeks later. In other words, he worked two weeks a year. A Cain worked 2 weeks a year.
It's a good job.
Wait a while. Then it wasn't, he wasn't a whole week working. That was too much. But they were subdivided into 7 families. One worked on Sunday, one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and so on. But if he came very busy, then the other Kohanim, they were support. They came to help him. So he worked 2 days a year. And he was on call 2 weeks a year. And every time he did the avodah, he would say Shekhyonu. Once in 6 months he worked, he said Shekhyonu. Something new. The question is, what did the Kohanim do the rest of the year? No? You're halfway there. Tich. The pasuk says, Tisirse Kohen Yishmeru Das V'Torah Yevakshu Mipiyu. They were the instructors, the teachers, together with the Levim. The Levim also was divided into 24 groups. The Kohanim and the Levim, they were the teachers, the instructors, the whole Shechar Yisrael. That was a major job. The Beis HaMikdash was only 2 days out of 6 months. Think of fella. But of course they were rewarded of Dalmas Kur. Now getting back to the clothing. So first they wore the kasonis, like a long robe, and the mitznefes, turban, the avnei, the belt. It wasn't made out of leather, it was made out of wool, I think, whatever. And the last one was the mitzvah, shorts. That wasn't a real beggar, it was just, he shouldn't be naked. So those were the 4 begotten, nothing on his feet. He had no right to put on shoes or stockings. Right? Therefore, as I said, when it came in winter time, there was a problem. I'm always concerned with a Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. It says that one of the nisim, one of the miracles in Beis HaMikdash, Lekibo Hakshomim Eish Shel Atzei HaMaroch. There was always a fire on the Mizbeach out in the yard. Right on the lawn or whatever. There was a Mizbeach, an altar. There was a fire burning. It was a big fire. So all the components, all the sacrifice. And when it rained, it never put out that fire. Why doesn't the Mishnah worry about the Kohanim? They have no coats. They're there in just a long robe of linen. They would be soaking wet. No? I never found anybody ask it. But the answer is very simple. It never rains in Eretz Yisrael except Friday night. There is no avodah at night. So the Kohanim was outside. It was only a fire burning. Nobody says it, but I'm surprised. But it seems to me so simple. No? Are you agree with me? Good? Okay. So that was the work of the camp. But now we come to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had, he would wear 8 garments. Not 4, but 8. Ordinary Kohen, he had the shorts, then he had a cloak, sort of a robe, and with snefes. He had a turban and a belt. Kohen Gadol had additional a me'il, a beautiful, like a jacket made out of wool. It was blue, and it had bells on the edge. Then there was the ephod and the chosen and the tzitz. The tzitz was made of gold. It was worn on his forehead, tied with a ribbon to the back. And it said on it, Kodesh Hashem. Not only this, but the person himself was dedicating Hashem. And the Kain Gadol used to be there. It would be for life. Be for life. Yechonon Kain Gadol, we are told, he was 80 years a Kain Gadol. Which means he didn't become a Kain Gadol by mitzvah, I don't think. So he was 20 years old. So he's a man of 100. He's still a Kain Gadol. Comes from Kippur. That is the one day he has a big job. First of all, they didn't let him eat a too heavy meal out of Kippur. You fall asleep in the Kippur. You're not supposed to sleep in Kippur. So he stays up all night. The next day he's busy with the avodah the whole day, not having eaten, and a man of 100. After Nila, the whole city comes to give him a yasekeach, to say gefyontif. He didn't get back to his home to make a dollar for his wife until 12 midnight.
Until when?
12 midnight, he finally got home. So it shows he had to be a man of strength. Strong person came out. And the Gemara says that the strongest people among the Jews were the Caliph. You see the Hasmonaim, the Maccabees. They were mighty fighters. You know it says the Benami of Colossians. Nevertheless, they were strong people. Okay, so I think that gives you an idea now.
So what's about the first Adar and the second Adar?
I said there are two opinions. There's an opinion of Ashkenazim and his father. They're both equal. Listen.
So somebody's born with Adar.
Our brothers and his father are just as good Jews as we are. So we have two opinions. That's so like everything else.
So they live by their opinion and we live by our opinion?
Absolutely.
So what would make sure I bring this Yahrzeit?
I'll tell you. There are some people that don't want to say Tachnun or the Yahrzeit to make sure I bring it. Not worse than a Rebbe. And they also provide snaps and cake. So these people provide both other reasons, snaps and cake and all of that. Make everybody happy. What can I tell you?
So
you celebrate both.
And you eat.
Purim Cotton? Purim Cotton is now everybody except. Purim Cotton is not a Yom Tov. We don't need to begin on Purim Cotton. We just don't say hello. We don't say Tachnu. It's a slight Yom Tov. Can't hurt. Can't hurt. Now the main Purim is on the other side. Then everybody agrees.
A Geburtstag, a birthday, is always carried over to the
second. You can celebrate both.
What?
You can have two birthday parties. Who's going to stop you?
It's usually the second.
What?
What's about the Yom Tov?
A Yotef Ashkenazim keep the first, the main one, and they light a candle on the second one too, say Kaddish too. The main problem is some people fast on the outside. Whether they should fast twice. That's the problem. But not most people don't fast. Today, it's fasting is out of style. They don't have who has the care to fast today. I'm a fast guru, Yom Kippur, and the Tisha B'Av, you know. Now about the Me'il, I wanted to mention one thing about the Me'il. The Me'il is some blood sprinkled by accident on Big Day Kohuna. See, the Kohanim, they had it Shech Behemoth, Chatzos, then take the blood and sprinkle it, and then there'll be accidents. It spills on Big Day Kohuna. The Torah says you must take it in the Beis Hamikdash, you wash it there. They don't do. Now, what if it goes, it was outside and it got tummy? Tummy, I want you to bring it into the Beis Hamikdash, so then you have to tear it. Once you tear it, it's no longer tummy. But the meal, it says you're not supposed to tear. What happens? The meal goes outside of the Mikdash and there's blood sprinkles on it and it gets tummy and you can't tear it. What do you know? So the Gemara says you have to take it bit by bit, a little bit at a time. Just one edge of the garment and wash it, then another edge and so on. Take it 2-3 hours to wash it out. But you can't tear it once in a while. That's a special, and that's already a biblical problem. Okay, so gentlemen and ladies, I think we'll call it a night. Thank you all for coming. Do I have any questions? The Big Day Kohuna, incidentally, Big Day Kohuna, a Kohen who does not wear the begotten is not considered a Kohen. If you want to be a Kohen and you want to go ahead and do the Avodah, you must wear. And in the days of Rabbeinu Tam, one of the greatest preachers 800 years ago, it so happened he had a Talmud, a Kohen, who was Meshamesh Rabbeinu Tam. He was his attendant. Don't you think a young fella comes along and says, Rabbeinu Tam, you're not supposed to work with a Kohen. Mikidashta. Can't work with a Kohen. So Rabbeinu Tam said, Ein big day, him aleihem, ein zru. He's not a Kohen if he's not wearing big the Kohen. So the other fellow persisted. You mean to tell me he can marry a Grusha? Shosak Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam didn't answer. So the Malka says, what do you mean it is? The answer is obvious. It's a schus for a man to be a shamus by Rabbeinu Tam. If you had a schus to be a shamus, Rabbeinu Feinstein, Rabban Kotha, it would be a cover to you. What's your problem? Rabbeinu Tam didn't want to say that. That would be too much guile for him. Rabbeinu Tam is one of our greatest figures. He was the leader of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. So Rabbeinu Tam didn't answer.
So what's with the Kohen himself?
What?
So what's with the Kohen? Is it a Kohen or not a
Kohen? He is a Kohen. Of course he's a Kohen. But that's a schus for a Kohen to be Meshamesh a man like Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah, but does he have to wear his...
No. We have no Beis HaMikdash. What could have... What could have been going on?
But generally, the Kohenim have to wear the cloth.
Actually, historically, there was a movement to bring Kabbalahs. We know where the Beis HaMikdash stood. It's still there. Right? Harabayas. We know where the Beis HaMikdash stood. And the Gemara says you don't need a building. You can do it right and build them as Beach. There was a movement in 1250 of Ben Yechiel of Paris. Yechiel of Paris, one of the greatest, he wanted to institute bring Kabbalahs to them. And then there were other people, much later, they said, some safer. Why can't we bring Kabbalahs to them? You don't need a bias, you don't need a building. That's a separate literature, separate problem, which we can't discuss tonight.
Okay?
Very good. Okay, good night, gentlemen and ladies. Yeah.
Hold on, Melvin, leave that chair for one second so the rabbi can get through it. One second.